All right, shall we please open our Bibles to John chapter number 10? John chapter number 10, and I'm going to read from verse number 25 through to verse number 27. John chapter 10, from verse 25 to 27. Jesus answered them, "I told you that you do not believe the works that you do not believe. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me. But you do not believe because you are not of my sheep. As I said to you," verse 27, "my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me." I say that again. "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me." Church, shall we just pray together? Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for another opportunity to gather around your word this morning. Thank you because you are a speaking spirit. You speak to us. And therefore, Lord, we ask that by your spirit you will speak to us again this morning. Let your word mix with faith in our heart. Pray for an anointing upon the ears of my brethren, your people. So that they will hear this word, this engrafted word of God, which is able to save our soul. I pray that you anoint me, O Lord, to be able to communicate your word with simplicity, in love, and in comfort of the Holy Spirit, so that all of us together, with the speaker and the hearer, will have been blessed, transformed by the reason of your word this morning. Thank you because you're going to do this, and much more because we've asked. In Jesus' mighty name, and the church shout aloud, amen. I recently read the story of four ladies who are living in a kind of an apartment-style, home. The units are so close together such that whatsoever takes place in one of the units is actually heard by others, especially when you raise your voice. So, three of the ladies met together on an occasion, and they were just having a conversation about the fourth lady, another lady in the building, who had a conversation earlier that day with their husband. And the first lady said, I think they must have been to the zoo because I heard her mention a trained deer. The second lady said, "Well, your hearing must be terrible, must be really bad," because she said that they were going away and that she had asked her husband, "Find out about the train, dear." The third one said, "I can't believe how shocking your hearings are, because both of you got it wrong." They were talking about musicians having a trained here. And then as they were having this conversation, it was becoming a bit heated. All of a sudden, the lady that they were talking about actually appeared on the scene. And when she listened to them, she laughed. And she said, "None of you actually got it right, because I had been out of town overnight and was asking if it rained here last night." Now, you can see that one conversation, three different interpretations, because the other three ladies heard three different things. This morning, I would like to talk to you on what I've titled, Hearing the Holy Spirit. Hearing the Holy Spirit. If you're a guest of ours, we've been on this journey over the last 3-4 weeks. It's a series that we've titled The Advantaged Life. The Advantaged Life. And we've been talking about the person of the Holy Spirit. We're landing the plane today. We're bringing it to a close. But I thought it would be a good idea to actually talk about hearing the Holy Spirit, because it's so key to what we've been talking about over the past couple of weeks. Now, let me just recap what we've talked about previously. Number one, that you have been called. You and I were being called into what we refer to as an advantaged life. We have been given this advantage to succeed, to attain, to fulfill purpose in life. That's what we've been called to. Now, what gives us that advantage is not a program. What gives us that advantage is not a position. What gives us that advantage is not even politics. What gives us that advantage is a person, a real person. And like I said last week and week before the last, this person is real. It's more real than myself standing before you today. This is the person that gives us that advantage. Now, he imparts that advantage upon us, or he gives us that advantage because he guides us. He guides you, he guides me. Now, and he guides us because he speaks to us. So he guides us by speaking to us, by telling us things, by proclaiming things to us. Now, the critical question this morning that I would like you to answer, and all of us to answer, is, do you hear him? Can you honestly say that you hear this Holy Spirit speaking to you? And why is that question important? Because if you don't hear him, then speaking to you is useless. And if telling you things is of no use, then the guidance that he provides is absent. Remember, the guidance that he gives us comes by reason of him speaking to us. And so if the guidance is absent, then the position of advantage is of nowhere. It's completely off the table, because that means he's not able to impart that guidance, and so we're not able to live that life of an advantaged person. So the question is, do you hear him? Because if he keeps talking and you and I were not hearing, then we are not going to live that advantaged life. And if the question is, do you hear him? And your response is no, then the question should then be, so what's wrong with me? Why am I not hearing him? Or the second question is, so what path do I have to tread in order to be able to hear him? These are the things that I quickly want us to address this morning, because it's not just an increase of an held knowledge. These things are actually practical. This is the way we actually live an advantaged life. Now, hearing the Holy Spirit is a normal thing, or let me rephrase that. Hearing the Holy Spirit ought to be a normal thing in life for every Christ follower. It ought not to be something, quote unquote, special. It is supposed to be the way we roll, you know, because we are Christ followers. But, you know, an average believer, and this is a sad reality, an average believer is so subnormal, such that when he comes in contact with, quote unquote, normal Christians, they appear to him as being supernormal. And that's the truth. Hearing the Holy Spirit ought to be something that is normal, our day-to-day experience. Why? Because we are children of God. Here is the good news. The good news is that the Holy Spirit actually speaks. He tells, he talks, he proclaims. We saw that established last week when we went through John chapter number 16. Now, the not so good news is the fact that the Holy Spirit is not the only one who does. The good news is that the Holy Spirit speaks. The not so good thing is that he's not the only one who speaks. Your flesh speaks. The devil speaks. Other people speak. Your spouse speaks, you know. Friends speaks. The world system also speaks. Now, so the challenge is to be able to pick the voice of the Holy Spirit out of all of these voices that, you know, come across to us on a daily basis. Now, Jesus made a very profound statement in John chapter number 10, verse 27. I want you to pay attention to it. John chapter 10, verse 27. This is what Jesus said. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. Now, the first thing I want you to know from there is the fact that the shepherd speaks to the sheep. The second thing I want you to know that is that the sheep hear the voice of the shepherd and respond to the voice of the shepherd. Who is the shepherd here? The Lord Jesus Christ. He speaks to us through the person of the Holy Spirit that comes to reside in our heart at the time of us giving our life to Jesus. He speaks to us through the Holy Spirit, and then the sheep hear his voice. Now, this is what I want you to know. When the Bible says, they follow me, they hear my voice, it's talking to us about the sheep responding to the voice of the shepherd that they have heard. Now, Jesus makes it clear how this comes across and how this comes about in the same chapter number 10, but in preceding verses. Look at what it says in verse number 14. John chapter 10, and I'm reading verse 14. It says, I am the good shepherd, and I know my sheep, and I am known by my own. I am the good shepherd, I know my sheep, and I am known by my own. What's this talking about? It's talking about the fact that the hearing that the sheep does is a function of the fact that the sheep knows the shepherd. The sheep knows the shepherd. Jesus says, I know my sheep, but it's not just that I know them, they also know me. My sheep also knows me. Okay? So because they know me, they recognize my voice. Now, why am I talking about all of this? The reason is simple, because sometimes we know that the Bible calls the Lord Jesus Christ as the shepherd. We know that we are the sheep. But what does not make sense is the fact that we struggle to hear his voice, even though he clearly says that my sheep hear my voice. So where is the disconnect? Is it that Jesus is not saying the truth that applies to us all, or that I'm just not a shepherd? Maybe I've always thought I'm a shepherd, or rather, maybe I'm not the sheep. Maybe I've also always thought that I'm a sheep, but I'm not really a sheep. Otherwise, I should hear the voice of the shepherd. Now, maybe I'm a goat. Jesus gave, this analogy about the goat and the sheep. You know, the sheep to the right side and the goat to the left side. Maybe I'm not the sheep then. Otherwise, I should hear the voice of the shepherd. Now, I don't want you to get to that, to get it twisted. There is a particular class or group of sheep that Jesus is talking about in this place. And this place is talking about the sheep that know the shepherd. This is a sheep in fellowship, not a sheep by reason of relationship. I'm going to clear that in a short while. Just stay with me. It's talking about a sheep in fellowship and not just a sheep by reason of ownership or relationship. Now, when we are thinking about a sheep and shepherd relationship, you know, as Australians or as people who live in Australia, what we think about is a sheep farmer in some large expanse of land somewhere in Queensland when he wants to get his sheep to respond, he will get upon his motorbike and then he would drive after them to get them into a safe place. This sheep farmer will also have some dogs, that will come, and those dogs have been trained to make sure that they gather or they direct the movement of these thousands of sheep and get them to the place of safety or the place where they want them to go to feed and all that. That's the idea that comes into our mind, but that's not exactly the idea that Jesus was actually relaying to the people. Don't forget, Jesus was speaking to the people who understood what shepherding business was like in their day and time. In their day and time, they are not going to have the shepherd on motorbike and driving, this large number of sheep. That's not the way it is. They have the shepherd who will have maybe scores of sheep, and then he will walk with them, actually lead them by himself. Now, the interesting thing is this, and I was reading this in one of the some documents some time ago, that when they will actually go, you know, because it was very, the Middle East, the land of Palestine, they don't have so much water. So usually they will dig or a well to water the sheep. Now, when the shepherd will come to the well, they will come with their own sheep. Every shepherd will come with their own sheep. And when they will get there, they're not going to be scared that, you know, there's going to be a mix-up of our sheep. You know, this first shepherd comes there and stays by the well, waters, you know, the sheep. And the next shepherd also comes to the same well. And then they will get their own group of sheep, you know, around the well as well. They don't panic. They don't get a bit, you know, disturbed that, oh, look, if there is a mix of these sheep now, when it's time to go, how are we going to separate them? You know why? When they finish, you know, giving water to their individual group of sheep, maybe the first shepherd is already done, he wants to move, and he wants to go to the next pasture and take his sheep, he will just make a voice or a sound and call his own sheep. And when they hear, when the sheep hear the shepherd's voice, they get themselves out of that group. It's an amazing thing. But that's what happens. They get themselves out of that group to follow this shepherd. So they don't have to say, oh, look, these are my shepherds. Let's make a demarcation. No. They all mix together, but when it's time to go, the shepherd makes a sound, and his own sheep follow him. That's exactly what Jesus is actually making reference to here. And don't forget, he was talking to people who understood the shepherding business of their day. My sheep, I speak to them, they know my voice, and they follow me. He says, I know them, and they know me. All right? I know them, I'm known by them. All right? So he's talking about sheep that has been in fellowship with the shepherd to the extent that they understand the voice of the shepherd. So this sheep, they know the shepherd. Now, by the way, the word that is used there, know, is the Greek word that is called ginosko. It talks about knowing someone deeply, intimately. It talks about knowing someone properly, through personal experience. You know, it's talking about a first-hand acquaintance. You know this person so well, so deeply, you know, so personal. It's an intimate thing. That's the word that Jesus used there. I know them, and they know me. And because of that interaction, they are able to identify my voice. Now, when the Bible says, and my sheep, they hear my voice, and they follow me, it's not suggesting that they are deaf to all the other voices. It's just that they are not going to respond to all the other voices. They will hear it. I mean, if the sheep was there and the other shepherd makes a sound, all the sheep will know it. But only his own sheep will respond by coming out of the group to follow the shepherd. That's what he's talking about. Now, so when we're talking about knowing the voice of the Holy Spirit, we're not suggesting that you are not going to hear all the other voices. That the voice of the world will suddenly, you know, disappear, or the voice of the devil will not hear it at all, voice of your flesh, or your own voice, you know, the voice of your flesh is not going to be heard at all. But you're going to be able to decipher between all those voices, and you're going to only respond to the voice of the Holy Spirit. So he's talking about a sheep that has had so much fellowship with the shepherd to the point that they know the shepherd's voice. So the knowledge comes as a result of fellowship. That's key. That's important. The reason why I'm drilling on this is because there are all kinds of books and all kinds of materials that will tell you how to know the voice of the Holy Spirit. But if you miss the fundamental, that the knowing of the voice of the Holy Spirit is a function of a fellowship that you have had with him, then you are going to be chasing, you know, shadows, because it's not magical. Nobody will just wake up the following day, tomorrow, and just get to know and to hear the voice of the Holy Spirit without having a prior fellowship with the Holy Spirit. So the point I'm making, and it's probably not a very good news to some of us, is that it does not just happen just at the click of the finger. It happens as a result of interaction, deep, intimate interaction with the person of the Holy Spirit. You know, the not so good news is the fact that it takes time. It doesn't happen overnight. I mean, you can go to Google and they will give you 7 steps to hearing the voice of the Holy Spirit. And some of them may actually be very helpful. But if it is not based on spending time and having fellowship with the Holy Spirit, I can tell you it's not going to work. Because the knowledge that the Bible is talking about here, or the voice, or knowing the voice, is a function of a sheep in fellowship. When he says, I know my shepherd, or I know my sheep, they know my voice, they follow me, he's talking about a sheep that has been in fellowship with him. Not just by reason of relationship. Now, let me explain that. Now, by the grace of God, we've got three girls. And the relationship is a father-daughter relationship. That comes as a result of birth. That comes because I give birth to them. When I say I give birth to them, you know what I'm talking about. I didn't carry pregnancy, you know what I mean, you know. But I want to get my wife out of the picture now. So I give birth to them, so they're my daughters. That's a father-daughter relationship, okay? Sometimes when I want to, when I just want to play games on them, maybe they are in their room, I try, when they want to play games on each other, the younger one will try and pretend that it's me, and then she will, you know, try and say, "Ore, where are you?" You know, just try to, you know, talk like me, and the other one will say, "Get out of my, you know." I know that's not that. Why? Because we've been together for many years. So they know exactly how I speak. So they can detect if somebody else is trying to, you know, mimic me. That comes as a result of the fellowship that has been built over the years. Now, let me paint in this different scenario to you. Let's assume that as soon as, you know, we had the girls, I disappeared from the scene, you know. They've never met me, they've never heard me, they've never seen me, you know. And then all of a sudden, by some sheer luck, maybe I just happen to be in the same, you know, vehicle, maybe a bus with any of them. And maybe I'm on their back seat and I'm talking, I'm actually speaking loud. Everyone is able to hear me. But they've never heard me before. There is no way they will be able to connect that's my dad talking at the back of the car or the back of the truck or the back of the bus. Now, the relationship has not changed. I'm still their father. They're still my daughter. But they are not able to understand and pick up that's their father talking because there has been no fellowship. Now, that is exactly the way some of us have been with the Holy Spirit. Now, the fact that we're not hearing him does not make us goats, metaphorically speaking. We're still sheep. But because we have not been in fellowship enough with him, it is difficult for us to be able to understand that he is the one talking. And so when he says, my sheep hear my voice, he's talking about a sheep that has had a relation or a fellowship with him. Not just by reason of birth. The reason is because relationship, as described in this context, is fundamentally a matter of birth. Fellowship is fundamentally a matter of choice. You need to choose to spend time with him. It doesn't just happen all of a sudden. It happens because there has been an interaction, there has been a fellowship, a deep, intimate fellowship between two people so that they will be able to, that's the Holy Spirit talking. That's him talking. So we are born again, the Bible says, not by incorruptible seed, but by the word of God. So when we got born again, there is a birthing, as it were, of our spirit, okay? But that birthing is not sufficient for us to be able to always recognize his voice. What brings about a recognition of the voice is fellowship, spending time with him. Spending time with the Holy Spirit. And that's why I'm challenging you people of God this morning that there is only one path to knowing the voice of the Holy Spirit. And that path is fellowship. The interesting thing about fellowship is it requires time. It takes time to build that fellowship. So the point that you are able to recognize is voice. Now, for those of us who have kids, you know that you don't have to even shout on top of your voice before your son or your daughter recognize, oh, that's dad. Even if you pick up the phone and you talk, even if you use a different number to call your son or your daughter and say hello and you try to be funny and say, oh, dad, is that you? What's going on? Why are you being, why are you being silly? What's going on here? Because they recognize the voice. Why? By the reason of an extended time together. But that's not going to be the same if the father disappears, from birth. I'm saying to you, people of God, it is time to get back to the vehicle of knowing his voice, which is spending time with him. There are no two ways about it. We need to spend time with him in prayer. We need to spend time with him in the study of the word, both individually, privately, and corporately, like we are doing this morning. As I'm speaking to you this morning, of course you're hearing my voice, but you are hearing more than my voice. Because if the message that I'm delivering to you is inspired of God, you are also supposed to be hearing the voice of the Holy Spirit at the corporate level. At the private level, as you study the word of God, something is happening to your spirit man. That your inner ears is being sharpened to begin to pick certain voice, certain dimension, the pitch, the frequency of the Holy Spirit. And your mind, your will, your emotion, the entirety of your soul is receiving this life of God that begins to configure your understanding to be able to understand and pick his voice. That's what happens when we spend time with him. In prayer, in the study of the word, reading the word. As you are meditating on the word, something is taking place in the realm of the spirit regarding your inner ears. So that it's getting more and more attuned to understand the voice of the Holy Spirit. When you gather with the saints and we're sharing fellowship like this, you're sharing more than fellowship with just the individuals that you are having physical contact with. You're having fellowship with the Holy Spirit. When you are memorizing the scriptures, that's a fellowship with the Holy Spirit. When you're just within your room and you are having a worship time, you're having a fellowship with the Holy Spirit. And all of this will culminate in you being able to understand, recognize, decipher his voice amidst all the cacophony of voices around the world. There is no other route to us understanding this voice other than spending time with him. As you stay in fellowship with the Lord, the life of God will begin to flow from your spirit to repair your soul. Our soul is damaged by sin. All right? So when we come to the Lord, even though our spirit man gets become alive and get born again, our soul, our mind, our will, our emotions, they have been damaged by sin. But as we begin to stay in fellowship with the Lord, through the person of the Holy Spirit, the life of God flows from within our spirit man and begin to cleanse our soul. It begins to remove the impediments, the impurities, the effect of the law of sin and death operating within our members. It begins to get them off and chip them off. To begin to configure it to the mind of Christ. And so you begin to understand God's voice clearly. So I'm saying all of this because if you're waiting for a time when you're going to begin to say, oh, yeah, this is the voice of the Holy Spirit. The one that is high-pitched is the voice of the devil. The one that is low-pitched is the voice of the Holy Spirit. And you have lived all these years. Have you had one that is high-pitched and low-pitched? It doesn't happen in practical sense. When we were small, that was what they told. They said, wait, the voice of God is just a still voice. And I understand what they mean by that. But we took that to mean that it's going to be low. And then the voice of the devil is going to be high. But have lived all these years, and it's not about the pitch. It's about the connecting, the understanding of the person that you're dealing with. And that's is a journey that I want us to embark on if we have not started already. By reason of use, that's what the Bible says. In Hebrews chapter number 5, look at what the Bible says. Hebrews chapter number 5 and verse number 14. Hebrews chapter number 5, verse 14. It says, but solid food belongs to those who are of full age. That is, those who by reason of use, I love that, by reason of use, they have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. Now, the contextual interpretation of this, I will leave that for a sec, and I just want you to concentrate on the application. There is a way that the reason of the use of the information that you get from the Holy Spirit helps your senses to become exercised. You begin to understand it. When I got it this way the last time and I acted upon it, it didn't actually give the desired result. Maybe that's not him talking to me. You have the senses begin to exercise to discern between all of these voices. By reason of this interaction, by reason of this fellowship. It's speaking to you, for instance, can come as a strong impression. That's the way I like to describe it. As a strong impression within your spirit, right within your heart. As some people describe it as a burden. You are not able to just get rid of it. It stays there. You try to just brush it aside. No, but it keeps coming back to tell you the same thing. It's so strong that it's difficult to shake off. And then you begin to have a direction regarding the subject matter. And somebody says, so what if it's not what if that's not the Holy Spirit? That's why I talk about by the reason of use. So you are acting on something this time, and you know how you felt the expression or the impression, and it didn't really go the way of the Lord, especially when you have compared it with the scriptures. And then the next time you say, no, that's not the Holy Spirit talking to me. I'm just saying to you, people of God, these things, there is no formula that you can just put two and two together and becomes four. It comes by the reason of your fellowship, interaction, and day-to-day understanding. And the Holy Spirit is a master at this. He will take you at your level if you are really willing to learn, and then begins to gradually teach you how he speaks. And then as you engage in fellowship with him, you will get to understand it clearer and clearer. So when you hear people say, and the Lord says to me, and you begin to say, why is it God that is so partial? He just speaks to certain people. He doesn't speak to me. No, he speaks to every one of us. But some people have taken it upon themselves to spend more time with the Lord and so gain to understand, they care to understand the voice of the Holy Spirit much more than other people. But it's a good God. He speaks to everyone. You know, by the grace of God, I'm still on this journey, you know. But when I reflect on how it was when I started and where the Lord has brought me to, I thank the Lord. And I'm able to boldly say to you, you know, without equivocation and without any sense of modesty, that the Holy Spirit actually directs people in every aspect of life, including things that you don't think is important. You know, let me give you an example. Many years ago, you know, I was driving to work, you know, and I got to a particular junction. I think that at that time they just put some, you know, traffic light in certain areas, you know, as you are driving on Niagara Road. So I got to that traffic light, and I was on this lane, and then there was a truck on this other lane, you know, and so I had already made up my mind as soon as the light comes on, I'm going to go straight in front of the truck because I don't want the truck to be in front of me and then it begin to do all this, you know, shaky stuff. You know, I just want to go before the truck will go, you know, because it's going to form a single line, you know. Of course, you know that there are some trucks that are super fast. You know, this one was not super fast. I saw the way it was, you know, doing like, you know. I was going to go to work. So as soon as just a few seconds before the light comes on, I just heard it in my spirit. Don't go. Stay on this other lane. No, I need to go before this shaky truck. I need to go, you know. But I have, by the grace of God at that time, I knew it was the Lord that was speaking to me. Now, can you please tell me what is spiritual about driving? You will say no. But that's the Holy Spirit talking to me. And so, as soon as the light was on, the guy was just going on his side. And I was behind, I was now behind the truck. I said, don't go before the truck. And I was just behind the truck. All of a sudden, there was this other vehicle. I don't know where it came from. It just went straight in front of the truck, you know. And I was like, Holy Spirit, I should have been there, you know. If you had just allowed me, I should have been in front of this. Look at me now. I'm going to be late for work. You know, I wasn't happy. But I knew that it was the Lord talking to me. You know, I think about 2-3 minutes afterwards, you know, I don't know what happened to this truck guy. I don't know what. He just lost control. And as soon as he lost control, he just went and hit the vehicle in front. Now, the saving grace for this particular vehicle was that this vehicle was actually having a trailer behind. So that when he impacted on it, it was the trailer that was crushed. Otherwise, if it was a single, you know, the usual vehicle like mine, it would have actually crushed my car. You know, and I said, oh, Holy Spirit, thank you. Thank you. Now I know why you said so. I will always listen to you all my life. You know. You know. I said that because the Holy Spirit wants to talk to you in every aspect of your life. I just use that as an example. But it comes by reason of use, by reason of fellowship, by reason of understanding how it talks. And it takes time. And that's why when you come into a place of prayer, people think that praying is just about getting what they want. They don't know that there is something that takes place in the realm of the spirit when you are praying that is actually helping your inner ears. So praying is not just about you getting what you are asking for. Praying is about a sinking of your spirit with the Holy Spirit. We have just talked about fasting, right? We're going to be having prayer and fasting 3 days, next week. Some people think that fasting is just, you know, so that you can get, you know, something, get a job, get a wife, you know, get a house. No, something takes place in your spirit when you engage in spiritual discipline that actually attune your spirit to the voice of the Holy Spirit. It comes by reason of use. It will take some time, but if you don't start, you will never get there. And I'm challenging you, people of God. Hearing the Holy Spirit is not just a privilege that some people have in the body of Christ. It is for all of us. But only those that have spent time, that have taken time to spend time to fellowship with the Holy Spirit will be the ones to be able to hear and understand His voice. Let us pray.